Civil rights bill already passed will strike directly at one of the basic causes. I just let them debate that in the Senate. I don't think it adds anything to this message, and I think it keeps guys like Landrum from getting involved in it. You turn the South against you 100 votes to begin with if you don't get any Republicans.
On the other side of the fence, Shriver tells me that he talked to Landrum and told him what was in there. And that
what good comes from it?
Well, the fact that with Landrum sponsoring the bill, O'Brien had mentioned the possibility that if we don't go forward with some mention like this, and it's much milder than it used to be, then the northern people will say, well, you sold out the poverty program to get southern sponsorship. And so I toned it down considerably. I can show you the first draft where it's just in there all through it. Now, you know that hill much better than we do. And
I see nothing that gets out of it, and they want poverty attack, and I just leave these two phrases out. Where discrimination denies men the opportunity to work and succeed as free men in a free society. I don't want to admit that exists, and I don't want to repeat it, and I don't see it helps you a damn bit. It runs 100 off. The civil rights bill already passed the House will strike directly at one of the basic causes of poverty. What good does that do you? It's already passed, so why do you want to say anything about it?
All right, sir.
You just turn every Southerner against it. Those two sentences make them vote against it. Now, why do you want to do that?
I think the last sentence really should come out. The first one we'll take out if you're
good. I take them both out because everybody can qualify, every Negro on any other. Lack of education, slums, and all that.
All right, sir.
And then I would really, I don't know who we've got that's Barbara Ward. Since Sorensen left, we've got no one that can be phonetic and get rhythm. But I would take these facts and try to put some rhythm in it for a message, because I think if you're going to send a message, it ought to do that. And I would rather think that this is Monday, that whoever is the best explainer of this that you can get, probably you and Shriver, ought to go and sit down with the Agriculture Committee, the Democrats, tomorrow and see what they got to say about it. Whether they'd go for that part of it or not. It sounds awfully theoretical and illogical to me. To make a man a loan and make him a grant just don't make sense to me. But if that's agriculture's idea and that's their program, and the Agriculture Committee can go for it. And I don't know whether that's going to require a re-referring or not. We'll have to sit down with Lou Dexter and go over that.
I think the key to it is, as you know, Mr. President, is to get one committee to handle it. Otherwise, if it is referred all over the place, it'll be...
But if agriculture hadn't cleared it ahead of time, they'll demand it come to them.
Right. I'll sure check that.
And, I'd sit down with Lou Dexler tomorrow, and I'd sit down with the Agriculture Committee of the House and Senate. And I'd start off by Shriver telling him he wants to put a good camp in Louisiana someplace. He wants a good camp in North Carolina, or a good one in the Rankin Republicans district. I'd have four good camps, and they'd be in those four agriculture districts, a couple in labor committee. I'd locate about six camps before I ever started.
Good idea. I'll take those other two sentences out, but just let it come from me taking them out rather than you.
Yeah. Now, I don't know who else you can get that we've got that can really make this rhyme.
Well,
Bill White could, but I think he'd make it a little heavy. Jack can, if he works on it, he's got a pretty good rhythm to it.
Yeah, he does. The only person I know who can, and I'm reluctant to ask him to get involved in this, because right now it's in our little circle, is Goodwin.
Well, I just ask him if he can't put some sex in it. I ask him if he couldn't put some rhyme in it and some beautiful Churchillian phrases and take it and turn it out for us tomorrow if he just won't take off the day. And if we will, then we'll use it. But ask him if you can do it and call him tonight and say, I want to bring it to you now. I've got it ready to go. But he wants you to work on it if you can do it without getting in the column.
All right, I'll call him right now.
All right. tell him that I'm pretty impressed with him. He's working on Latin America already, see how he's getting along. But can he put the music to it?
Yes, sir. He's got good structure and structure. You know, you balance it, you weigh it, make it rhyme here and there, that sort of thing. Good flow of words. Not as good as Sarnson, of course, but pretty good.
Let's see. Who else do we have? Friedman, can he do that?
Friedman is much better on a declarative sentence type of thing. He might can do it. Let me ask him to take a look at this tomorrow. We've got there's a fellow in town that I don't really trust now though, because he's doing interviewing on Bobby Kennedy for this library. That's a John Bartlow Mark. He's an awfully good writer. We just don't have it.
Bobby was up with the Wall Street Journal putting out that article on us today.
Comes out now. You see the Newsweek story?
No. What did it say?
It doesn't help any of us. Just a minute. There's the Republicans did most of the talking last week, but in the Democratic Party, two popular and important Democrats began to square off. Lyndon B. Johnson, Attorney General Robert Kennedy, Ellis aired a political name. Kennedy had reached the brink of the decision to go after the vice presidential nomination. Indeed, some intimates thought he had passed the point of no return. The immediate issue was the well-organized, broadly backed vice presidential New Hampshire riding candidate Bobby Kennedy, now listed by the Gallup poll as the choice of 37% of U.S. Democrats. At best, the LBJ count figured the campaign could only exert unwanted pressure on the president to pick Kennedy as running mate. At worst, granted a big enough vote for Kennedy, the result could prove humiliating. After anxious prodding from friends in the White House, Bobby Kennedy last week, for the first time and too late to slow the momentum, issued a mild admonition to his New Hampshire supporters. The Attorney General has said, then he quotes that statement, "There was no sign that Bobby Kennedy's close associates took his disavowal seriously. He's much closer now to seeking the vice presidency," said one confidant. If there was no firm evidence that his hand was on the throttle, it was clear at least that he cheerfully ignored the hands of others. His court jester, former Democratic National Committee staffer named Paul Corbett, was reported drumming up write-in sentiment with or without Kennedy's blessing. In one prime move in the write-in campaign, Robert Shane, a Manchester specialist in public relations, was telling friends Corbett had urged him on in the drive. Moreover, in the Kennedy's own stamping ground in Massachusetts, the 28 ballots for delegates of the Democratic National Committee had taken on an intriguing new design. In the past, voters could designate the party's whole slate of delegates with a single mark on the ballot. Now it would be necessary to vote for the 58 delegates individually. One of these will be Robert F. Kennedy, who can thereby demonstrate his personal vote-pulling power. New Hampshire politicians publicly lent no credence to the speculation that Bobby Kennedy himself was quarterbacking the right end there. In one sense, the president himself had to blame for the problem in New Hampshire. 3 weeks ago, Bobby Kennedy offered to put out a statement disavowing vice presidential ambition, but the White House objected on the ground it would only heighten speculation. Moreover, New Hampshire party officials said they had badgered the White House with offers to put Mr. Johnson on the primary ballot in any way he chose, but without any response. The evidence of Lyndon Johnson's reaction to the Kennedy campaign was just as circumstantial as evidence that Kennedy was running. The fact that Paul Corbett was eased out last month as Special Assistant John Bailey was read as one tip-off. Another tip-off lay in a piece last week by syndicated columnist William S. White. White, one of the president's closest cohorts, devoted a column to chewing out Bobby Kennedy's Justice Department for illegal wiretapping, snooping that he had said bore an unpleasant odor of police state methods. That, Mr. President, Joe Ossoff told me that Bobby Kennedy told him that story was written from the White House. At his news conference, the president himself took pains to cut the primaries down to size and moldings of vice presidential nominees. Quote you there. Tension between Mr. Johnson and his attorney general feeds on old antagonism. Kennedy opposed him as a vice presidential nominee in 1960, right up to the time his brother made the choice. Unquestionably, knowledge of the president's sentiments about Kennedy prompted some of the attorney general's supporters to engineer the write-in campaign. Their theory was simple: to generate enough popular support to convince pros and public, and thus Mr. Johnson, that a Johnson-Kennedy ticket is the best possible. But no president likes to be pressured. Besides, LBJ is likeliest to make his choice not on the basis of pressure, or even of whom he likes, but on the basis of political advantage. On that basis, some say On that basis, say some of the handicappers, Mr. Johnson will finally choose among only three or four real possibilities. Kennedy is one, Minnesota's Hubert Humphrey another, a third may be Secretary of Defense Robert McNamara. He will choose the man who, on balance, will do the best for the ticket. As proof that a presidential candidate may choose a man he doesn't particularly like, there is no better example than the fact John F. Kennedy chose Lyndon B. Johnson, for whom he felt nothing warmer than a certain wary respect. End story.
Well, I think that's all right. I think that makes Bobby look bad instead of us. I would ask Ken, though, who in the White House did this, and I won't know. I saw also, when I saw this, and I can't figure out who in the White House did it. Ask him in the morning, though.
All right.
Just get it and write down his answer. Because
yes,
they're
sir.
Quoting him on it.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir, they sure were. And Alsop was the one who reported, who said that O'Donnell talked to you, didn't he?
Yeah.
That never happened, did it?
No.
But it's really a campaign.
Well, he'll sweep, but I think he will just ride it out, just take a little time, and he'll make an ass of himself. That's what Hoover says he'll do.
I think that's true. I still think that while he does have an organization, there's just a lot of people in this country who in 1960, they stole things from that, want to see that family out.
I don't see how he can have much self-respect sitting in the Justice Department. Doing stuff like this, I think in a matter of time, probably after the convention, that he's bound to have to run off and cry.
Mr. President, he was trained by a Jesuit, and the Jesuits have a funny philosophy. I mean, that's an effective one, but you know, you're not for me, you're against me. And the means justify the end. So he has a very simple ethic. Black is black, white is white. Black is if you're against me. White is if you're for me. That's what he asked.
Well, but we could ask him to resign tomorrow.
But that wouldn't do any good, though.
I don't know. He'd be pretty lonesome without that all those people around him and without that power.
I think then he'd probably get out of religion and raise a fight. Raise a little bit. He doesn't think right now he has to. Wait him later. Well, I think you could beat him. I'm sure you could beat him. Might take these northern liberals with him on the civil rights bill, although I don't think so.
Yeah, I think that's what we've got to have him on, civil rights. Let's get this thing in a speech form now where you can write it.
I'll call for the night.
See what you say. You can call me at home. I'm going home now.
All right.
Writing.